In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As you all know, during the month of November, we have been talking about God's providence. And in our first week, we were talking about compassion. And the second week, we talked about communication. And the third week, we talked about caring. And I thought to continue using the letter C for each topic. And today, I'm going to talk to you about commitment. And to get started, let me tell you a very important story. And give me your attention for this story. If you really understand it well, you would know what commitment means. Complete. To God, to your family, to everybody whom you love. The story says there was someone in Haiti, and he wanted to sell his house for $2,000. Market was very slow, like nowadays. And he found only one person who wanted to buy the house, and he wanted to buy it badly, but he did not have that much of money to afford it at the time. And he went through too much of negotiation. And finally, the owner said, okay, I'm going to sell you the house for half the price, but under one condition, just one condition. And that condition is very simple, nothing really much. So the buyer said, what is the condition? And the owner said, the condition is to leave that one single nail on the top of the front door that becomes mine forever. I can do whatever I want. I can hang anything on this nail. I can check on it all the time, making sure that you do not remove it or remove anything that I leave on that nail. So the buyer thought about this for a moment and he said, what would little nail will do for me? Nothing really much, so what? I don't care, you can have it. As long as you will sell me that house for half the price, no problem. And he agreed, he signed all legal documents and he bought the house. Few years later, the owner of the house came back and he told the new owner, I would like to get my house back. And he said, I'm sorry, this is my house. He said, but I'm going to buy it from you back. Don't worry, I'm going to pay the full price that I had before. The new owner said, I'm sorry, I cannot. He said, okay, if you don't want it, that's fine. The old owner went out and he found a carcass of a dead dog and he hanged the dead dog on that one little nail. Of course, the new owner could not stand it. He could not live for the smell or could not live for the bugs that go around a dead body. And he cannot remove it. He went to the police, he checked with lawyers and with everybody, what can I do? There is a dead dog in the front of my front door. The police and lawyer and the court said, nothing we can do. Because in the contract it says, if you remove it, you lose your house. Free. So you have one of two choices, either you sell it or you give it free back to the previous owner. He tried as much as he can, he could not stand it, and he removed the dead dog. And when he removed it, the man was standing outside taking pictures, calling the police, and guess what? He lost the house. That's all about commitment. If you understand the story, it means if you leave one little nail, you give it to anyone, you could lose your house in heaven. If that nail could be anger, for example, you get so angry so much at home and at your family, that's one nail. So what? I'm trying to teach my kids. I'm trying to show everybody how to be disciplined and how to follow my commandments and how to follow my rules. All the time try to be angry. This is the only way to make it work. No, it's not. That one nail can make you lose your eternity. It says in the Bible, the anger of man does not do the righteousness of God. It will never do it. You are against God in that, and you can lose your house, your mansion in heaven. You see, just a little glass of wine, what this will do for me? I am sure you heard about many stories. The highest number of death on the road comes from drunk drivers. He said, no, I'm not getting drunk anymore. No, I will never be drunk. I will never hurt anyone. Trust me, it will happen. The minute you allow and you let go little things, and you let Satan put that one little nail in your heart, What about just a little cigarette? It's not that much. You are destroying yourself and you are destroying your health. You are not committing yourself to God 100%. Do not give that one little nail to Satan. When I was talking to women about covering their heads, covering could be that nail that you could lose eternity. Can I lose eternity because not of covering my head? Yes. You are disobeying God's commandment. It is one nail, one little one. It's okay. God will look at other things. It's true. But God looks at all things, not only one or two. When we dress improperly and we try to be stylish, this is the latest style that we have to follow. That should not be it. Your body is the temple of God. That one little nail can make you lose eternity. How can I take that temple and expose it to someone else? Do you ever see the altar here when it's covered, when it's closed, that the curtain is somewhere higher or lower or from any side, like wearing sleeveless or short skirt or exposing any part of the altar? It never did, never will. So watch out for that little nail that can make you lose your eternity. You must commit yourself completely to God. That's commitment. Where does it say about commitment in the scripture today from the book of Luke in chapter 14, verses 25 to 35? I'm going to share with you 4 points. As we did in the past few weeks, we were talking and dividing the scripture into 4 areas. So today I will do the same, and all of them again will start with letter C. And the first one is crowds. In verse 25 it says, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them." Great multitudes went with him. And at this point of the ministry of the Lord on earth, it was causing quite a stir, and he has drawn a big crowd. And I think for us today, this would be regarded like a sign of success. When you see the church is full and packed, you say, wow, we have so much great success right here. But that's not the case for God. God does not look at the number of how many. God has something very important. He turned it back to the crowd and said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So you would wonder, God, what are you doing here? You'll be turning people off. You will not let them stick to you and come back to you. He said there is a big difference between being a spectator, onlooker, coming to see what's happening here and social activity, or being my disciple. When God sent his disciples to all nations, he said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and make what? He did not say make spectators. He said make disciples. Make people who follow me, commit to me 100%. It may cost you. That brings the second point about cost. Crowds cost. It will cost you so much to follow God. And the question is, if you really truly committed, are you willing to pay the cost? What is the cost? The cost could be relationships, could be positions. In relationships, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You will come back and say to God, what is it all about hating? Didn't you teach us to love one another? So what do you mean by we must hate our families and our relatives? Look to what the Lord said in Matthew 10:37 to really get the answer to the question. He said, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So we see, God doesn't really mean that we hate people. That means if you love God, your love to your family compared to your love to God would be like a neglect. There is no comparison here. He is number one. He's the top in your life. There is no one else compared to God in your heart. Anybody else you would love, but in comparison, your love to your family and your relatives would be kind of neglect. Number two, the Lord said, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What kind of cross is it? If you really love God And if you really love your family, you will take them the way they are. As human beings have their weaknesses, you work with them how to get rid of their problem. You work with them, you teach them, as the church is doing, teaching all the time. We can rebuke sometimes, yes, God did it all the time. When there is something against the teaching and the doctrine of the church, yes, we should. But not all the time you are like rebuking and getting angry at everybody. That's not it. The third point in this area is possessions, where he says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. If you do not forsake all what you have, whatever that is in money, whatever that is in business and job, if it will take you away from God, you better leave it and lose it. How much time would you live on earth and you have all the money and the riches of all the world? All these riches, what will it do for you? Nothing. You will not take it with you when you go to heaven. You will not. As I mentioned many times before, we as Egyptians specifically, we know that we discovered many tombs that had lots of jewelries. If those people whom we buried, and we buried the jewelries with them and all the money and all the food, if they came back to enjoy it, we would not have found it. For us to find it, it means no one will take it with him, no one will ever use it back again. And that brings the third important point, that is counting. In the scripture today it says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. In simple words, if you really wish to commit, make sure that you are ready and will never ever go back in your commitment. If you really love God, your friends will not take you from God. There are many friends who can drag you far away from God. Come on, let's have fun, let's have good time. No, God comes first. If you are committed, you make sure that God comes first. I will never accept the invitation on a day I have a service in the church. I will not accept to go with friends and families, even if they are families, if they will take me away from the church. I will not go sharing parties where we drink and get drunk and say, so what, just some good time. Please remember that the only people who are happy, they are Christians. Non-Christians are not happy, and their happiness is superficial, not true. If you remember from the history back in the days when the heathen were still there in Egypt, when they see someone of those idol worshippers smiling and laughing, they ask him, did you meet a Christian today? See the impact? When they meet Christians, they were so happy. So all Christians, true Christians who believe in God, always happy. They are serious in their relationship with God, but they are very happy because the Lord fills their heart with rejoicing. When you count the cost for commitment, trust that God will reward you, always. For example, when you commit to marriage, it is commitment, everlasting commitment, right here on earth and forever. Some people get tired after a few years from marriage, and they cannot accept the person they are marrying, and they start to complain. Before you get married, you know that you are one person and she is another person, and the two of you became one. Being one meaning we can reconcile the differences, we can get over any difference between us. In love, we can let go. When I was in Texas before coming here just a few years ago, I read a very, very interesting and touching story of a man in Dallas. So please listen to this story, very touchy. A reporter from the Dallas Morning News decided to live away from the city and from the noise, and he lived in an apartment complex that overlooks the cemetery. So he noticed there is a minivan that comes in and drops off this old man. A lady comes down and brings like a cooler and bag and a chair, and the old man comes down and sits on the chair the whole day. When the reporter comes back from work, he sees the minivan coming to pick up that old man and leaves every single day. So he was wondering, and he said, there might be a story that I do not know. Let me find out. So one day he decided not to go to work And after the van left, he went to the cemetery and he started to speak to the old man. Good morning, and my name is, and they start to introduce each other. And then he told him, please tell me what's your story. The old man said, I have no story. Then he said, no, but I see you coming every day. What is your story? There must be something here. He told him, there is nothing really much. When I was about 25 years old, I got married. And I loved my wife so much, so much, that we decided to commit to each other forever. We will never, ever leave any one of us, no matter what, in health, in bad time, in illness, not even in death. So we committed to each other completely. In my late 40s, she got very sick unexpectedly and she passed away. I told her I will remember my commitment, my promise, and I will come to be with you every day as we did in our life. Now I am 75 years old. For 25 years, I used to come here every single day. My daughter is the one who brings me every day. She was raised very well. Her mom taught her well. And she was so kind to drop me off every day before she goes to work. And she picks me up every time when she goes back home, coming back from work. Every day for 25 years, not days nor months, 25 years, this man kept his commitment to his wife to go every single day to be with her, eating and drinking from the cooler and the bag that he had. Never left his wife. After death, how about our life? So before you get married, and if you are married, think about this commitment that you made one day. Your commitment to your wife, to your family, is everlasting commitment. It is not for few days, not for few months. Not if she is tired, now we cannot stand it. If she is angry, you will, khalas, we hate each other, we are going to go for divorce. Where is commitment that we are talking about here? This hatred or this bad treatment could be the little nail that I mentioned in my story at the beginning. Don't give out this nail to anybody. Commitment meaning 100%. It is not 99.9999 forever. It's 100. Don't tell me it's just that little thing. There is no little. When it comes to God, it is either all or none. Either I am fully committed or not committed. That's commitment. This story tells us really about true commitment between married people, between those who love each other. There is nothing ever could affect you or should affect your relationship with your wife. Now, what you do and what would be the consequences if you do not commit? That would be my last point. Again, we spoke about those four letter C's, crowds, cost, and counting, and now we talk about consequences. What would it be? Remember what you heard in scripture today. It says salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you are committed and you want to stay with God, there is no way to go back. If you go back, you will lose that seasoning, the love and the image of God in you. And if you lose it, it will be very difficult for you to come back. To give you a feeling about why that church always keep preaching and teaching to remind you with the true meaning of love to God and the true commitment to God, because if you go back, you will not be able to make it all the way to heaven. St. Paul said in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 6, verses 4, 5, and 6, he says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. If they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Very difficult that we come back. So keep working, keep struggling, and keep fighting, and remind yourself of your commitment to God. There are many people, sadly, in this world now, they consider the gospel to be just a book. They have no idea how precious that book is. But for us Christians, we should always remember that that book, the Holy Bible, is pearl of great price. And it is worth all what we have. It is worth our life, to give your life for it, to give even your relatives, if they stop against you, to give your pleasures and lust, and you keep yourself in purity, staying away from any improper relationships and sexual relationships that could destroy your life. That could be the little nail that some of the youth can lose it because they think, what's wrong with relationships? If you are committed to God, you give Him all things. You do not leave one single nail, one nail. Otherwise, Satan can use it to destroy and take from you the house, which is your house, your mansion that God has prepared for you. So in conclusion, when we spoke about God's providence, when God talked to us about His love and compassion to teach us how to be compassionate with each other, when He talked to us about communication to teach us how to communicate with each other, when He taught us about caring, it means how we care for each other, and when He taught us commitment, when He committed to us by dying on the cross, to teach us how to commit to Him and how to commit for one another and love one another, to stay with Him and with each other again, inshallah, in heaven forever, and glory be to God now and forever and ever. Amen.